You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday, the 9th of June, 2021, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, today we've got a news article that really does show an evolutionary strategy that is used particularly by the Jews against white people. Obviously, evolutionary strategies have developed over time as a way to advance one group's interests, often at the expense of the other group's interests. And this is because all the various extended kinship groups are competing. We are all competing on the world's stage to advance our own group's cause. And of course, our criticism as nationalists is that white people seem to have given up competing. We don't seem to recognize this when we see the representatives of these other groups engaging in such activities. National Geographic magazine's editor Susan Goldberg has been mocked online for adding white, privileged, with much to learn to her email signature. And of course, Susan Goldberg is Jewish. Her surname means mountain of gold. And what she's doing here is she is pretending to be white when she is Jewish. And lots of Jews have told us that they are not white. And this is why they empathize with blacks. And this is why they take such a prominent role in anti-racist organizations, because they don't see themselves as white. And yet many of them will claim to be white if they can then lead whites into behaving in a way that will weaken white people. And of course, if you see yourself as privileged, rather than seeing yourself as having worked hard for what you actually have, then you will think that maybe you should be giving away some of what you have to these other groups. So that's what she's saying here. She's pretending to be white so that she can encourage white people to see themselves as somehow not having earned what they have. And maybe it would be a good idea to give some of it away to some of these other groups. And of course, that would weaken white people. Goldberg added the words on a June 6th newsletter emailed to readers, which invited them to participate in the magazine's Race Card project, which sees those featured sum up their experience with race in 6 words. I can sum up my experience with race in 2 words. Race matters. Race is central to everything. A child will show a preference for a member of his own race more so than he will show a preference for a female. And of course, a baby needs a mother in order to suckle, and yet they would prefer to be with somebody from their own race rather than a mother from another race. It's absolutely essential to everything, the type of being that you are. And the title of this race card project, normally you would say somebody's playing the race card if they don't come out with an answer to your theory that you've just put forward, and they come out with an insult instead, an ad hominem, and call you racist for daring to suggest something, then that is playing the race card. So it's quite ironic that this magazine's project is called the Race Card project, and in actual fact, what it is doing is playing the race card. These are not just binary conversations about black and white people, reads Goldberg's letter. This quilt, as she describes it, pulls at all manner of cultural threads from Latinos and indigenous people to Asians and Iranians. So where do the Jews fit in? Why did she not mention Jews in that, I wonder? So what's my race card? Goldberg continues. This is a hard exercise, but reflecting on the difficult past year, on our fraught politics, and so many frank conversations I've had with friends and colleagues, for now, I'll leave it at this. White, privileged, with much to learn. So she is basically pretending that she's not Jewish. She's pretending that she is white. So instead of saying, well, what I've learned this year about race is that white people are being blamed for everything and white people are being expected to actually hobble themselves and disable themselves, basically, to allow these other groups to have a step up on the ladder, which is probably what somebody white would say. She's saying, well, we're white people, we're privileged and we have so much to learn. Please, please teach us, other races. Teach us what it is that we have to learn. I mean, what is it that white people have to learn? We were on top of the world, British people in particular. We had the British Empire. And that's what this is about, isn't it? It's about groups competing together and trying to get to the top. And what she is saying here is we shouldn't be doing that. We should be helping these other groups to get to the top instead of us. And yet, if these other groups get to the top and they haven't got there because they've worked hard to earn it, then they're not going to deserve it when they get to the top, are they? And they're hardly likely to be responsible when they actually get there. And this is the argument that was made years ago as to why we had to have the supremacy of white people, because we needed the supremacy of law and order at the top. It's no good running the world in the same way that a country in Africa is run, which is very corrupt. Thankfully, many took to Twitter to mock Goldberg's decision. America surely has the most insufferable elite, wrote conservative writer Rod Dreher in a Twitter post with a screen grab of the letter. His tweet has since garnered 7,336 likes, 1,175 shares, and 766 comments. And of course, that doesn't necessarily say that people are liking the tweet or support that tweet because they were sharing it. You just automatically like whatever tweet you've just been looking at. But he does have a point here. America surely has the most insufferable elite. But he's not going to draw attention to the fact that this is actually a Jewish woman that is saying this. This is a Jewish woman that is pretending to be white so that she can say this. And that's not to say that it's only Jews that are doing this sort of thing, that there are white people that are doing it as well. But the point of it is that it benefits Jews in particular and these other groups to have these ideas going around, and they weaken our group as whites. They weaken us. That's the point of it. If she's ashamed of her race, her class, and her ignorance, maybe she should resign, replied Jeffrey Miller, a psychology professor and writer, to his post, and Twitter user Barrington Martin II, a former Atlanta congressional candidate, simply commented, cringeworthy. And this is the point, isn't it? All these people that are criticizing whites, saying that we're privileged and we need to have diversity quotas and we need to replace more white people in every industry. Well, these people that are saying that, maybe, you know, the first thing they should do is resign and turn over their job to a person of colour, if that is how they feel. I believe it's Dr. Noah Carl that has been advocating for this. He was talking about it the other day on Dr. Edward Dutton's Jolly Heretic podcast about trying to get a movement going to encourage these people that they should resign. And clearly, if they think that white people somehow are only in the position they are because they have an invisible knapsack of privilege that has put them there. And what we should really be doing is trying to get more black and minority ethnics into these important roles, then the first thing they should be doing is resigning. But of course, they won't do that. And in particular, this Miss Goldberg here, she's certainly not going to do that. A number of race card project entries are shared on Twitter and all have evoked outraged tweets from mostly conservative outlets and readers threatening to cancel their subscription. Perhaps the most criticised was a portrait of a white woman from Arkansas with the caption, "I am ashamed of my ancestors' race." One user wrote, "I doubt they are thrilled with her either." And another wrote, "I am ashamed of Nat Geo for publishing this story." What does she mean? She's ashamed of her ancestors' race. It's her race. It's the type of person that she is. Why would she be ashamed of her ancestors? If it wasn't for her ancestors, she would not be alive. We're told in the Ten Commandments that we should honour our mother and our father. And if we do honour our mother and our father, then our days in the land will be long. And of course, what that means is you need to honour all of your ancestors. And if you honour all of your ancestors, then your land will not be taken from you, because you will not allow your group to be weakened to such an extent that foreigners will be able to come into your country and rule over you. I mean, that's the end result of this. If you think that you should be ashamed of your ancestors and you should somehow give way to other races and other people groups, then you will lose everything that your people group have created. And we can't expect these other races and these other people groups not to do this sort of thing, because they are competing against us and we are competing against them. A tweet explaining the post in the same thread reads, "Lindsay Lovell Heydrich was born in Arkansas, and her ancestors ran a small plantation in Georgia and owned slaves. When I try and bring things up or I try and criticize the South, you know it's never gone over great with my family," she said. Well, perhaps she should look at it in another way. Perhaps she should look at it as, if it wasn't for her ancestors running this small plantation in Georgia that owned slaves who were very likely black, those black slaves may well have gone to another black owner in Africa, where they could have been ritually sacrificed, they could have been chopped up and eaten, they certainly would have been slaughtered when the slave owner died. And instead of that, these slaves were on this plantation in Georgia being looked after by her ancestors. She should look at herself and think, well, I'm a good person. I'm such a good person that I am concerned about this. So surely it follows through that my ancestors were good people as well. And if they did own slaves, I am sure they would have done their very best to make sure they were well fed. They had good clothing. They had a nice house to live in, and that they were looked after in their old age. I mean, this is the way that you have to look at this. You have to look at it that white people are very charitable. White people are very merciful. The idea that we would have mistreated the wards that were within our care is just not plausible, is it? Yes, there may have been some instances where slaves were mistreated, but they would have been in the minority. They're just the same as within marriage. There are some marriages where the wife may be mistreated or the husband may be mistreated. And it was the same thing with slavery. The reason why we think it is such a bad thing is because Hollywood has told us that it was such a bad thing. But it was essentially just the same as it was the employment system of the time. And if her ancestors hadn't run this plantation, then those black slaves would not have come to Africa. They would not have learned how to read and write, and they would not be in the position, the much better position that they are in now than they were back then in Africa, and how they are now in a lot of places in Africa. Another race card project post shows a young black man with the caption, "Black boy, white world, perpetually exhausted." The tweet drew hundreds of appalled comments mocking the man in the photo and the idea that the world is white. Well, there are plenty of places that he could go where there aren't any white people. He has the whole continent of Africa, which is run by black people. If he wants to get away from the horrible whites, that's all he has to do, so why doesn't he do it? A following tweet reads, after a frightening encounter with police right before entering college, Isaias Meheretab decided not to tell his parents, who had fled persecution in Ethiopia, but he discovered that keeping quiet about these challenges takes a toll. Well, what is the sort of thing that happens in Ethiopia? Well, they have child soldiers, they have mass rape that goes on, they have the selling of body parts, albino body parts for magical potions, they have massacres, they have cannibalism, and yet he thinks that some encounter with the police, where they probably stop and searched him, he can't tell his parents that because they'll be so horrified. Surely any encounter that you actually have with the police in America is going to be better than any encounter with the police in Ethiopia. I'm sure the police in Ethiopia are thoroughly corrupt. And if they say here that his parents were fleeing persecution in Ethiopia, then quite clearly it's going to be a worse situation than here. Or in America, rather. Another shows a mixed-race woman with the caption, "I am not an exotic creature." Well, no? Do black people not live in exotic countries? Do they not come from exotic parts of the world? There used to be a time when that was considered to be quite alluring, to have a whiff of exoticism. I mean, it means that people are going to be interested in you. It's interesting the way that this is now reversed itself. The following tweet explaining the caption reads, "Hannah Peoples said the constant guessing game about her identity, as well as the harassment and unwanted attention she's received from creepy men, makes her feel like a specimen. Her six-word story was born of exasperation." Well, hang on a minute. She says she's not an exotic creature, but she also says here there's this constant guessing game about her identity. So if people are trying to guess her identity, then quite clearly she doesn't have a very common identity. She doesn't have an identity that is immediately apparent. And you can't stop people from guessing what identity somebody has if they don't know what it is, because it's not a very common one. And the fault for that lies with her parents, surely, not with the people that are wondering about her identity. Writer Michelle L. Norris began pursuing the race card project on her own over a decade ago, and National Geographic recently brought her in as a storytelling fellow to continue her work. So far, she has included entries from 500,000 people from 100 countries and territories. The Race Card Project is one of the most recent efforts made by National Geographic to discuss racism and expose injustice. But many see it as ironic, considering the magazine's past. What business is it of National Geographic to be discussing racism and exposing injustice? National Geographic used to be all about the natural world, surely. It's supposed to be about tribes in the Amazon and different creatures in the Amazon and history and anthropology. What has that got to do with supposed discrimination, prejudice and injustice? It really doesn't have anything to do with that. It's basically just explaining, just telling us that all these social justice ideas, these sociology ideas, have managed to infect just about every scientific endeavour that we have. National Geographic was first published in 1888, but has recently come under fire for treating non-white cultures and native people with what critics say is neo-colonialist disdain. But wasn't it very recently that National Geographic had a picture of lots of non-whites on the cover and said the new Europeans? Is that treating them with neo-colonialist disdain? Well, I would suggest that it is, actually, because it's stripping them of their actual ethnic identity and calling them European. But of course, that's not the way that it gets looked at, of course. One example that has since been widely shared featured a 1916 issue on Australia referring to the indigenous people of the continent as savages who lacked intelligence. Well, hang on a minute. When we discovered Australia, didn't the Aborigines, had they not advanced from the Stone Age? They were considered to be a Stone Age people, surely. I don't think they had even gone through the Bronze Age. They were still at the Stone Age. And that is traditionally what we would describe as a savage. And if you look at the average intelligence, if you look at the average IQ of Aborigines, they have a lower intelligence than white people. And if you say that the average intelligence or the middle IQ spot is 100, then yes, they do lack intelligence. If you go by other blacks, perhaps maybe you could say that they don't lack intelligence. But if you're going to go by the whole world, if you're going to go by white people, Chinese people, African people, Aborigines, then they do come on the lower side. So it's quite accurate to say that. Of course, it's not politically correct to say that, but that's because politically correct means factually incorrect. Otherwise, it wouldn't have that politically bit before it, would it? It would just say correct. Political correctness actually means that something is factually incorrect. One Twitter user named Tech Lurker summed up the controversy with the tweet, "The National Geographic has smoothly transitioned from trafficking in racial stereotypes to trafficking in racial stereotypes. One must admire the evolution, I suppose." And of course, that's just referring to white people as privileged, and white people as being oppressors, white people as being slave owners. These are the new racial stereotypes that we have today. It's all anti-white. And yet, for some reason, the law never gets involved. It seems it's perfectly fine to attack white people and to be anti-white, but they're not so pleased if you are going to be critical of non-whites. You have to be very, very careful in the way that you critique them, of course. Susan Goldberg spoke of her desire to make amends over criticism by publishing the magazine's race issue in April 2018. She tapped University of Virginia professor John Edwin Mason to examine the magazine's archives and pinpoint what it could have done differently. Well, of course, this was a different time, wasn't it? Why would they be doing things differently 100 years ago? Why would they do things differently? They're going to do things that are in accordance with the general thinking of the time, just the same as they're doing things in general accordance with the thinking of the time now. But many left-leaning sources and Twitter users found the magazine's attempts to emerge from its racist past as being tone-deaf and superficial. Vaxton Hartnerbrig of NPR's Code Switch wrote that the magazine recognises that race is socially constructed, but acts like its coverage of that means that racism could just be waved away. Well, hang on a minute. If they're going to make a race issue and ask what racism is all about, then how can they then also claim at the same time that it is socially constructed? I still don't get how people can just disbelieve what their eyes and their ears are telling them. Race is a fact of life. There are differences between the races. There are different sized bones, different proportions, different coloured skin, different types of hair. Just about every measurable factor between the different races show that race exists. It's the same as looking at the different types of whale. You know, you have a blue whale, you have a humpback whale, you have a sperm whale, you have an orca whale. They're all whales, but they're all different types of whale. It's the same with bears. And of course, it's just the same with humans. This idea that it's just a social construct is a nonsense. What's more is that since the April 2018 race issue, more than 75% of the magazine's cover stories have been assigned to white male photographers, according to a Vox article published in May. Well, could that be because most photographers are male? Could that be because most photographers are also white? I doubt very much whether National Geographic are deliberately not employing black photographers who are highly qualified. And the fact is, they're going to employ the best photographer, aren't they? Because if they start employing photographers with a lower standard, they're not going to sell so many issues of the magazine. Several current and former staffers say they cannot recall a cover story ever having been assigned to a black female photographer. Well, how many black female photographers are there? And how many of them are there that are working in the natural world and taking pictures of the sort of things that people want to see in National Geographic? National Geographic has also responded to criticism over its racial imbalances by announcing a plan to boost inclusion and by creating a residency program aimed at giving young journalists of colour a foot on the ladder. And is that not racist in itself to say that this is a program that is just for black people? We want to help just black people out to get a job with National Geographic? And the whole point of a meritocracy is that if you have the qualifications, if you're good at something, then you should be given the job. And what they're saying now is, oh no, we can't have that anymore. What we have to have is if you are black, then you should be given the job. And at the same time, if you were to say, well, I would like to actually give a job to somebody who is white, well, that's against the law because you don't have freedom of association any longer. I mean, this article brings up so many different issues, doesn't it? It brings up issues between whites and blacks, and it brings up issues between whites and Jews. And a really interesting thing about it is that the Jew that started this, she's a crypto Jew, isn't she? She's pretending to be white for the purposes of this, but in actual fact, she is Jewish. And none of the critiques that have been made of her so far have been pointing this out, have been pointing out what this is actually about, why she would be doing that. And the reason why she's doing that is because it advances the cause of her people group at the expense of her competitor group, which is, of course, us whites. And the issue is that we, as whites, we need to recognize this. We need to recognize that this is what is going on. And once we recognize it, it loses its power and we cease to be as weak as we are. And that's the only solution to this, is to recognizing what is going on and working to advance the cause of our people. Because what they're trying to do here is get us to advance the cause of these other groups of people. And that is just suicidal. Well, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. God bless and hail victory.
You're listening to Radio Albion, talk radio for the nationalist community.